Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham flick, and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet, and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg, and we're back from an unplanned mini sabbatical. We have been done in by international breaks and more definitely by two bachelor parties, a flu in the New York real estate market. But nevertheless, we're back. It's a diminished cast today, but I think we'll hold up our end of the bargain. I'm joined only by our steadfast pillar of reliability, Brian Ashlock. Brian, are you excited to be back? Are you excited to talk about Tottenham Hotspur?
Yeah, I am prepared to go into the stands for this team. So yeah, like let's do this.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of good stuff to talk about today. Since we've been gone, Tottenham Hotspur have won against Aston Villa, and it was all pretty much downhill from there. We lost to Leipzig, we lost to Chelsea, we lost to Wolves, and while we technically drew Norwich, we really lost to them too. It's been an ugly month as our injury crisis has really reached. I think when Son went out, Brian, I'm sure you'd agree with me here, Tottenham's injury crisis reached just unsustainable levels.
Yeah, I mean, when we lost our second striker, basically, you know, even though Sonny is only like half of a striker, but you've lost now your two main goal threats in the team. I don't know what anybody could have done for this. I don't even know how to put it into words. Like, you just saw when Son goes down, we're out of options. You're just continuing to play with Lucas up front and then hoping that works and hoping Dele Alli starts scoring and hoping Bergvine starts scoring. And it's just really, really frustrating.
Well, I think when Son went down, we went from having enough to put something together on this team to really scraping the bottom of the barrel and really in a hole that I don't know. I don't want to say dig ourselves out of, because we're frankly, you know, assuming Manchester City is not allowed in the Champions League next year, we're 2 points, 3 points off of getting in the Champions League. So it's not like a catastrophe in the way that the whole season's been a catastrophe, but it's just, I think it's a breaking point. I think it's the straw that broke the camel's back. I think with Son in there, you have goal threats, you have something they have to respect up front. We can play a certain way that makes some amount of sense. But without him in there, there's no one who can even pretend to hold up the ball. There's not a real consistent goal threat. It falls apart in a way that it hadn't entirely fallen apart before.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly maintained or sustained some level of success with just Son as the main attacking threat in the past.
If we'd beaten Chelsea, which was, I believe, the game after the next league game after Aston Villa where Son got hurt, I mean, we would have been in the top four if we'd beaten Chelsea that week.
Well, I think the most annoying thing is, if we're going to talk about this big picture and kind of, you know, what's happened recently, is the annoying thing is that we've had two really key matches since Son got hurt. You had a match against Chelsea, who's in fourth, and you had a match against Wolves, who is just ahead of us right now, but is another rival for sort of this top four, top five places. And we lost both of them. And I mean, the Wolves match was much more disappointing to me, because even though we looked really good for large portions of that game, we still managed to somehow snatch defeat from the jaws of victory and come away with nothing from that, even when, you know, it was certainly possible that we could have gotten a point. It's just kind of...
Yeah, that game was like the anti-Liverpool. It was very, very annoying.
Right. And the thing to me is, this team is at a point where if we don't score first, I feel almost instantly resigned to the fact that we will lose. Because you cannot see many goals coming from this team. Like,
that's the story of the season, wouldn't you say? I feel like, except for maybe like a 5-6 week period under Mourinho where we were kind of firing a little bit before everyone started to die. Like, with Pochettino, now with Mourinho again, it's like, if you don't score first, it's just, it's over. And sometimes, like it was against Wolves, even if you do score first, it's all over. But
yeah, it's weird because we've looked good in patches, especially in that Wolves match. We actually looked like a better team in that game. We looked like we had some attacking ideas in the Norwich match in the FA Cup. Like, it doesn't seem... like, latter-era Pochettino Spurs always seemed, like, bereft of ideas, and that it just, like... we didn't have a plan to attack a low block or a team that sat deep, or we didn't have plans to break things down. We didn't have creative passers. That doesn't really seem to be as much the problem now. What seems to be the problem now is that we have plans to break things down. We have creative passers like Lo Celso to create chances. We just don't have the capability to finish chances off. Or we're getting into positions where there should be chances and we're not taking shots. Like, that's the big problem that I see.
I think that's a problem. I want to be, and that's a serious problem. I think the problem is there's a lot of problems, but I think the problem is without Kane, without Son, without someone who can provide either or a consistent goal scoring threat up top or the ability to possess the ball. It's just having this knock-on effect on the rest of the team where it's like it's exposing our midfield in a way that's hurtful, which is then in turn exposing our back line. And it's just like it's really had this knock-on effect of just you remove the threat of goals, which, you know, Bergwijn's doing a decent job. Like, Mora is occasionally threatening. Dele Alli's threatening even if the guy's on just a remarkable cold streak right now. I mean, all these things are happening, but there's no one who can just sort of like, okay, we're going to possess the ball up top now. We're going to hold on to it. There's not enough midfielders to sort of like maintain control of the team without anything up top. Because, you know, we just have guys like Mora who just turns the ball over like crazy and isn't, you know, really a possession player. Bergwijn is a little bit better. He's not a turnover machine like Mora is, but he is not, you know, that's not his sort of game. It's just, you know, that's not entirely what Dele does either, especially playing that far up. And it's just, I feel like it's just having this knock-on effect through the team. Now, the fact that, like, our midfield sucks and that, like, you know, Ndombele has turned out to be sort of fat and out of shape all season, or probably injured. And the fact that, you know, we just have no depth in midfield, especially with Sissoko hurt. It's just, and then you combine the fact that we have a bunch of young and or stupid defenders or old and busted, like Yip Vertonghen. It's just, it sucks. It really sucks. And, you know, I think it was just, you know, losing Sissoko hurt, losing Kane hurt, losing, you know, Son was just that final straw. And I'm sure I'm forgetting other injuries, but it's just not fun to watch. And I don't know about you. I just feel like we're trying to muddle, like, just fucking get through this season and we're going to rebuild. Like, if there's any, I mean, we'll talk about this in terms of who to blame and what you expect going forward in a little bit, but one way or another, we're just trying to get through this season so we can get sort of set up for next year.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. But at this point, you want to get something out of this year, too. Like, you want to muddle through, I understand that, but, like...
I think getting something out of this season, I think, became just incredibly unrealistic when Son went down.
I don't know, but, like... I understand that, but, like, everybody else in the league is so bad this year.
Yes,
like,
yes.
If we were going to just muddle through and somehow luck our way into fourth or fifth, like, you still want to do that. Like excuse me, and the losses against Chelsea where we had 5 shots the entire match, and, you know, the conceding leads against Wolves, like – those are matches that if you want to get fourth or fifth, those are the teams that you need to beat because those are your rivals for those positions. And, you know, injuries or otherwise, those are matches that could have been won because Chelsea are spluttering. Wolves, we played well and like we had leads and we just conceded. So, you know, I am not in the mindset that there's nothing that we can get out of the season. I mean, you said so yourself, like we're 2 points out of fifth place, which may get us Champions League this year. We're really still only 5 points out of fourth. Like there's nobody that has started to put some distance between us and them. And it, which is amazing considering how poor we've been all year. And I mean, I know this is something we've been saying since, like, I don't know, January of last year, but, like, all this team really needs is one good stretch. Like, a run of five games where they get, you know, 12 points or 13 points. And that'll put you back in the driver's seat. The problem is we're coming down to, what, there's 10 games left in the season, and you're starting to look at the fixtures, and you're like, I don't know where that run is going to come. Because, you know, we've got Burnley now, and then we follow that up with Manchester United, and that'll be tough. But if you get points there, that sets you up well. But then you've got West Ham, Sheffield United, who's good, Everton, who are better. And then you close with Bournemouth, Arsenal, Newcastle, Leicester, and Palace. Mm-hmm. And you just don't see a really long, strong run out of any of those 10 matches just because our form has been so weird, and you can't count on the defense, which is weird for a Mourinho team, and you definitely can't count on the attack, and it's just like,
well, and I don't know about you. I am like of two minds, like about when I look at Mourinho and I look at how he's handling this. Like on the like underlying all of this is like he is obviously working with he does not have a lot to work with. You know, the fact of the matter is, many of our key players are out there for one reason or another. There are not backups to some of these key players. Our midfield is incredibly thin. Our front line is virtually non-existent at this point. You know, and defender-wise, you know, he's dealing with, like, Vertonghen is, like, a ghost of his former self. Foyth is hurt. So Tanganga's in there, but he's, you know, still, like, a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old or whatever he is. And, you know, he's gonna have his dumb mistakes. Lloris is hurt again, so he's missing games. He's not working with a lot. At the same time, you know, like you said, we have lost to Chelsea twice under Mourinho when, like, they did not look good. They were sputtering. They were not having good results. Worse teams than us were beating them. I know it's hard to believe there are worse teams than us with some of the way we played this year, but worse teams than us found ways to get results, or at least, like, make Chelsea work for it in a way that we certainly didn't. And what I find really frustrating about that is it's like we surrender these opportunities, and I don't understand. Like, on the one hand, I can see Mourinho trying some shit, and he's experimenting. He's even getting something out of it. Like, Aurier is probably playing the best he's ever played in a Spurs shirt, despite the fact that he still has dumb shit all the time. But he's playing really well. He got Lo Celso firing, which probably would have happened under anybody, but he got it going. He's gotten Bergwijn in the team and made him a threat almost immediately. Like I said, Tanganga is a, you know, competent Premier League player, or at least like passable at this point, is very impressive. You know, it seems like even amongst our back lines problems, he's got Sanchez playing at a higher level than he's played in a long time. It's not like he hasn't done things. I mean, I think Winks has even improved under Mourinho, even if I think he's still a bit of a liability to us. So he's done these good things, but also it's just, you know, you look at these performances, like you were saying, we wet the bed against Chelsea twice. That Wolves game was there, and, you know, I don't know, like those first two goals that Wolves had, a lot of that was down to dumb individual errors, so maybe that's not on him and it's down to some dumb players, but you got to put some of that on the coach's doorstep, and that we couldn't just make, you know, we couldn't even hold on for a draw in that game. It's infuriating, and we're throwing away, you know, I think if Kane or Son or Sissoko, if we weren't a walking MASH unit, I think we would probably easily qualify for top four this year because the league's so bad.
Yeah, and I think you also kind of hit on, you know, one of the other things that's been weird about this season is that we had a group under Pochettino that kind of put the whole, like, Spursy thing to bed. And you had a team that did away with a lot of individual errors, that did away with dumb mistakes and poor decision-making and stuff like that. And you've still got largely the same players, but we're seeing now that those individual errors, those dumb mistakes, they're cropping up again. And it's weird because it started under Pochettino earlier in the year, where we had some, you know, quote unquote Spursy results at the beginning of the year. And, you know, it's really starting to rear its head again under Mourinho. And it's interesting because, like, that's not what you equate Mourinho teams with. You equate them with being mentally strong, with being tactically well prepared, with, you know, solid decision making, with good defending, and I think a lot of it has to fall on some of these players' doorsteps. Like, we're just, these guys as a group are not performing in the way that they have been capable of in the past, and whether that's age or attitude or whatever it is, they're not doing it this year.
I agree with you. I think you look at some of these performances and it's just like, you know, at some level, it's like, it doesn't matter who's coaching him. If Lucas is going to keep playing like that, I mean, on some level, Lucas has always kind of played like this. He's not even the worst example, but like, what do you say about that? What do you say about Ndombele? Like, I hope it's an injury. I really hope what Ndombele is dealing with is an injury, or at least like some sort of just physical inability to, you know, cope with the Premier League in his first year. Because if it's just he's not taking his fitness seriously, like, you know, we just spent a record amount on a midfielder who was supposed to solve a lot of our problems. And you watch him when he's fit, when you get those 15 good minutes of him out of him in a match, you know, you could see the idea. You could see what he could do for this club. But it's just, you know, he's not there. And I hope it's not, like, sort of a decision on his part not to take some of this stuff seriously. But, God, it's fucking frustrating to watch. And I don't know. I don't know what to think about Mourinho, because like we've talked about, he's done some really good things, some things I wouldn't have expected him to do. And he's also, like, we keep underperforming in a way that I think he is at least somewhat responsible for. And I just don't feel like I can make a rational judgment of him, or at least, you know, a lot of people are talking about, oh, Mourinho, he's costing us the soul of the club and all this other stuff. And I get Mourinho as an asshole, and it is what it is. And we spent, like, 10, 15 years hating this guy. But at the same time, like, I don't know what his vision for, like, I've heard people say, like, well, what's the club trying to do? And my answer at this point would be keep its fucking head above water. Like, you know, there's so few options we have that make any sense. It's tough to watch. And next year, at least, we'll get, you know, maybe the whole plan won't be in place. Maybe the plan won't work, but at least we'll fucking see what he's trying to do, I would imagine.
And that's the thing is, like, so, you know, say we still made the same decision. We still fired Pochettino. And we hired literally anyone else, anybody. What would we have expected that person to have accomplished in, you know, these last, what has it been, 3 months, 4 months now? Like, what would they have done that would have made a more substantive change to the squad than what Jose Mourinho has done? They weren't going to get any more money to spend, so...
I mean, assuming they're dealing with the same injuries...
Yeah,
I mean, which, you know, I think Mourinho might bear some fault for, because he was playing a lot of those guys, like Sissoko and Kane in particular, were getting a whole lot of minutes under him at first when he was just sort of leaning on.
I don't think he had Sissoko at all. Did he?
I thought he had Sissoko. I thought he had Sissoko for a little bit.
I thought maybe.
This is the kind of thing we might want to know before.
Yeah, if we prepared.
But my point is,
but I mean, like, look, he leaned on Kane, but like. Everybody leaned on Kane.
You're right. And Kane has an enormous amount of power at the club, and apparently now he wants to leave, which I think is fucking hilarious, given how I think Kane is to blame for a lot of the problems that he's had. But,
and I mean, if you don't have Kane, who do you lean on? You lean on Son. So it's not like, look, there's no culpability on Mourinho or any other manager for, like, these injuries. Like, if it was demonstrably something that was, like, down to wear and tear. I mean, Son broke his arm. You can't control for that. Like, and Harry Kane, like, he's been injury prone the last few years. Like, I don't know. I don't think any manager has any culpability for that sort of thing. And any other manager that we would have had in place, even Pochettino, even if we hadn't fired Pochettino, I don't think, given the same set of circumstances, you would have a markedly different squad or markedly different results.
Like, I'll say this. I think the nicest thing this club did this year was firing Pochettino when they did, because they did that guy's reputation a world of good. Because I think we'd be in such a worse situation with Pochettino now. I think that team had given up on him. I think he'd given up on the team. That guy was not trying. And Mourinho's at least, like, tried some different shit. Now, some of that's just because he's been forced to. But, like, I just think we'd be so fucked right now if we hadn't fired Pochettino. And that sucks to say because I love Pochettino. And I love what he did for this club. And I wish he stayed around and was successful. But it was just it was real bad. I mean, I remember us talking about this. We had to talk about this thing every fucking week, and it was the same story every fucking week. And it would be really bad. But I don't know who else it would have been, because we fired him so early in the season. And I think if they'd have brought in just a pure caretaker, if there was, like, I don't know, Tim Sherwood's a bad example, but if there was, like, a 5 years younger Harry Redknapp waiting in the wings or something, like, you know, I think you're risking losing other players. God knows how the season goes. I don't know if Mourinho is going to be a solution, but I think that was the best thing they saw, you know, at that point in time. The problem, of course, is, like, what else was out there? Like, I mean, I think Ancelotti might have been available if this had happened, like, a month later. I'm not sure the club would have gone for Ancelotti, but I would have rather seen that.
Sure. I mean, and, you know, there were other names that were out there at the time. You know, you had, what's his name? Fuck. Why can't I think of his name, Greg?
I don't know, Brian. Why can't you?
He used to manage Juventus. Allegri. You had Allegri that was out there.
But Allegri also whiffed on that Arsenal job interview, by all accounts.
Yeah. And you had... there were other people that were out there. And certainly there were options. And because we all kind of, like... We had that show where we all talked about, you know, what our best case scenario was, and we all thought, oh, Allegri would be great. And, you know, I think by and large the Mourinho era has been fine, and you're absolutely right. Like, we don't know what the plan is, we don't know what the vision is, and just like we wouldn't know what the plan or the vision was with any other manager.
Yep.
And I think regardless of how we think and how we feel about this particular half a season, what's really going to shape everything is how next year goes. And, you know, we're going to be looking at a summer that's going to be very interesting. And we're going to be looking at a season next year where the expectations are going to be a lot higher, because a team managed by Jose Mourinho, especially a team that has just fired, like, probably the most well-liked manager of their modern era and one of probably the best coaches in the world, is going to have a lot of pressure on it. And, you know, we're at the point where financial stability, we can compete with all of our rivals in terms of wages and transfer fees. And the thing that Daniel Levy has done in appointing Jose Mourinho is really not give himself a safety net. Like, now we have to find out, like, if Spurs are serious about competing at the top, and if they're actually capable of doing it, and because there's not going to be any more excuses after this summer, I don't think. I mean,
there's not. I mean,
like, oh, we didn't plan in the years before, but
they got to do it now. I mean, they had to do it a lot last year, but they need to. You know, they need to do this. They have so much work to do this summer. They need midfielders. They need a backup striker. They need defenders. I mean, they have a lot of work.
We might need a starting striker. We might need, you know, a goalkeeper, defenders, fullbacks. Like,
let's talk about that real quickly, just because you brought it up. A report came out for Matt Lall. Honestly, this is almost the same report, almost a year later. Not a lot of meat on it, but, like, Lall clearly knows people, so I don't think it's totally without merit, but... Just saying Kane's thinking about leaving if he doesn't start winning shit soon. And I'm thinking to myself, that's like, you know, like, oh, what are we going to do with soccer Chris Davis? Like, you know, like, Kane signed a long-term contract like a year ago, I think, right before he moved to the new stadium. And he's going to try and force his way out at probably the bottom of his market. I mean,
That's my thing.
Unless Ed Woodward gets exceptionally stupid, I can't see anyone who's going to test our resolve on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Daniel Levy, absent Jose Mourinho telling you, "Nah, we don't need him," you're not letting Harry Kane walk out the door for 20 or 30 million pounds. Like, regardless of what his actual value may be to another club, his value to Spurs is always going to be significantly higher.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, it's he's one of our own. He's an academy product. He was, you know, he was there through, you know, the beginning stages of all this. Like, even if he's injury prone, even if he doesn't get as many shots as he used to, he's still, like, a player that has more value to Tottenham than he does to any other club. And there is no club in the world that is going to pay, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80 million pounds for him. There just isn't.
You look at, like, what they're saying on Twitter about Harry Kane, right? Like, you know, like Michael's whole thing about Danny Ings and, you know, just like what any stats, you read any stats-based site or person about Harry Kane, and they have their thoughts. Now, putting aside whether or not they're true, there are real doubts about Harry Kane and his viability going forward. And that is not to say Harry Kane isn't going to rebound. That is not to say Harry Kane won't change his game so he'll still be more effective as he gets older and less mobile. I'm not saying that. But my point is, if you're a team, if you're a big money team like Manchester United or Real Madrid or Barcelona, is that who you're gonna like go fight Daniel Levy and spend like upwards of 80 million pounds on? Like, I'm really skeptical of that. Frankly, I don't think he's in a position to sort of dictate that kind of move, especially because I think the only team in the English market that could make a serious run at him is United. And I mean, I don't think there was a huge market for Kane in foreign leagues when he was one of the best strikers in the world. I think it's virtually non-existent now. I don't think it's going to happen whether he wants to go or not.
Yeah, and so that would be like the least of my worries. I think the, you know, a more significant worry would be, you know, does someone spend a lot of money on Heung-min Son? Or does someone want to go because
Son has kept his moves real quiet in the past.
Sure. Does someone want to blow a bunch of money on Dele Alli?
There's another player who I feel like is kind of at the like bottom of his market, and you know, is someone really going to want to test Spurs' resolve? Or do they want to go through exactly what I said about Kane? After the season Dele's had for the last 2 years, where he's been hurt a lot and not as effective as he's been in the past, are there teams who want to go through all that shit and pay that much money for a player who's been kind of off his game a little bit?
Yeah, and you know, are either of those players willing to go to the proverbial jerk mattresses and force Daniel Levy or Jose Mourinho's hand in terms of like getting a move away?
Like maybe Son's in a position where he might be able to do that. I am less convinced that Dele is, and I'm super not convinced that Harry Kane is. I think those players are. I think Dele and Harry in particular are coming from an extreme position of weakness if they want to get the fuck
and
out
I'm
of Spurs.
I'm not convinced that Harry Kane, personality wise, is equipped to do that. You know, I'm not sure Harry Kane is capable of sitting out football matches or not training or basically being an asshole if there is football to be played and goals to potentially be scored. You know, I think he's not going to be doing that.
I generally agree. I mean, we have so much work to do, and it's just, God, we have so much of the season left, and it sucks because there's not a lot to play for. This team is super broken, super hurt, and it's, you know, I just don't think it's not going to get better till next year, and we're just marking time almost. Like, I don't feel like I'm learning anything, which is the worst thing. There's nothing I don't feel like I'm watching these matches. I'm not getting a better understanding of what Mourinho wants to do. There's maybe a few players I'm getting a better feel for, like, are they good? Are they bad? Do they have a future at Spurs? But by and large, everything's so broken that you're just hoping it's going to be not a terrible, shitty game, and maybe we'll luck our way into the Champions League next year. But it's not fun to watch, and it's not particularly instructive, which is what both of those things together I find very, very annoying.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, there was a lot of talk leading into the Norwich match that, you know, an FA Cup would be like, that would be redeeming for this season. Like, that would be a trophy would always make a season worthwhile. And you kind of watch the performance and you're like, I don't know. I don't think I really wanted to see this team play more games. Like, it's just,
Well, it's what you were saying when we started. They just wilt. I mean, there's no resilience. There's no spine. And, you know, I guess that enough bad shit's happened this year. You can understand it. But it just, it's like bad to worse. I mean, you know, somehow we fucking lose to Norwich in the FA Cup.
And, I mean, look, you know, you play your third choice goalkeeper and that sort of thing. I don't know why Gazzaniga didn't play instead of Vorm. Like, you know, and does Gazzaniga make that error? I don't know. Probably not. It's just it was so bad, and then you know, you look at the teams that advanced to the next round of the FA Cup, and you look at it and you're like, well, would we have won this anyway? Like, you know, it's not like it was a competition that was set up for Spurs to easily like walk to a trophy. All the big teams are still basically in the competition, so it's just frustrating, though, to have to see more kind of lackluster football, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Well, the best result is the coronavirus means they have to cancel the season early. And they do this at a point when hopefully Spurs are in a Champions League position. But most importantly, they do it in such a way where Liverpool's title win has an asterisk next to it. And they don't win the title again for another 20 years, and we can just joke about how they didn't actually win the title this year. That would be really funny to me personally, but I doubt we get that lucky.
Yeah. So what do you think of our chances for the Champions League?
You know, everyone's so shitty. Like you said, what if Spurs... There's been... I thought we played some of our best football, at least like post-MASH unit football, under Mourinho for periods against Wolves. And frankly, we were unlucky not to score more goals in that game. And part of the reason it fell apart was Wolves just got, you know, our defense fell over. I think when they scored two goals, they were 2 for 2 on shots and goals in that match. And then they sort of started applying the pressure as we fell apart, which isn't to say we didn't deserve to lose that game. But, you know, if Spurs can, like, put some run of form together, which isn't inconceivable with our schedule, like, especially if all we need to do is finish in fifth, yeah, sure, I could see us being in the Champions League. It would be funny and a little bit sort of unexpected considering this dreadful run of form we're on right now, but we're not going to have any cup competitions distracting us. So, shit, I don't know, maybe. I mean, especially if maybe we get Kane and Son back for the last month of the season, although I doubt it. It's possible. I wouldn't bet on it, though. What do you think? Yeah. Do you think it's going to happen?
I mean, I'm still optimistic. Like I said earlier, all I think you need is one good run of games. And there are some easy fixtures coming up. But, like, as I said earlier, we just haven't demonstrated the ability to win some of these easy games. And so, who knows? I just think everybody's been bad. And I think everybody pretty much has, like, a coin flip's not right because there's, like, four teams that have a possibility here. But, like, I think, like, it's anybody's game, really. Like, between us, Wolves, Sheffield United, Chelsea, Manchester United, like, you could tell me now at the end of the season that any combination of those teams finish fourth and fifth, and I'd be like, oh, that sounds about right.
What players do you not want to fight right now? Because I want to fight a lot of our players. Like, I mean, I think it's like Lo Celso and Bergwijn almost, like maybe Tanganga, but he's had some shitty fucking matches for us too, but he's young, so you gotta give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
I think Sanchez has been fine. I think Lloris has been fine since he returned. You know,
like I think we probably beat Wolves if Lloris and or Toby play.
Yeah.
Or at least get points off of that match. I mean,
yep. I think Lamella hasn't really played that much, but when he has played, he's been fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
our perfect angel is still great.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, Lo Celso has been the one really standout player. He's been the guy who has really taken over the Christian Eriksen role of like trying to will a shitty, lackluster Tottenham side to victories. Because when Eriksen was really good, that's the things that he did. And Lo Celso just doesn't quite have the supporting cast that, like, that time period of Eriksen's Spurs career had. So, I don't know. I just... like you said, we're soon going to not have any cup competitions to distract us because we're going to probably go out of the Champions League in midweek, and then we'll see if just we can put together a run of decent performances.
It's so frustrating to watch. Aurier's been decent, except I just always want to fight Aurier. But he's been decent. I don't know. It's just I want to get to a point where I can like rationally evaluate this team and not just like try to sift through the wreckage to figure out like who sucks and we can't help it, who's being hurt by the fact that they're playing in such an injured and shitty team, and who's actually good. And you know, there's just a handful of guys who you can look at and you're like, oh yeah, no, he kicks ass. Like, you know, I think Bergwijn's been enormously impressive in his first few matches. Lo Celso is great. And I'm a little disappointed. I was joking. The negative view of Lo Celso is, instead of taking our team to the next level, his sale will form the foundation of the next good Tottenham team. But I just wish there was a better team around him, because Lo Celso is so much fun to watch, and he's what we've been crying out for. And it's just, it's annoying that we got him right as we sort of fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my thing is like, this season has not been particularly good for evaluating who on this team is actually good.
Except for Lo Celso, but yes.
Yeah, except for Lo Celso. But even players that I think we know demonstrably are good, like you think about, you know, Alderweireld, Lloris, Ndombele, Dele Alli, Heung-Min Son. Like, we know these players are good and capable of playing at the very highest level, and they've, you know, they kind of all look shitty at various points of the season. So, you know, when you're talking about squad building and trying to figure out what you do with this team, you know, over the summer, like, you know, are players like a Lucas Moura or a Harry Winks or Eric Lamella, like, are they expendable? Do you keep them around? If you have good offers for them, do you just get rid of them because they're not good enough, or they don't fit the way Jose Mourinho wants to play? Or,
I mean, you know, we probably can't afford to be as ruthless as we ought to be, but I think they should take a very hard look at almost everybody on this, every position on this team next year. Now, partially because we need like depth in so many positions. Like, they need to be buying midfielders. They can afford to buy a couple midfielders and not worry about like is there going to be playing time for them. Like, they could just go get a few.
Yeah, and I mean, the main problem is as you identified already with Kane and Alli, is so many of these players, by their performances this season and towards the end of last season, have really played themselves out of transfer moves. I mean, you know, is there a market for a guy like Eric Dier? I don't think so.
I can't imagine. I mean, I think there might be a market, like a lower level team, by which, or a team beneath us in the table or in the pecking order of the Premier League, might want him. The question is, he going to want to go there? Is he going to want to like go to Sporting or something? There might be like a market for him in Portugal.
I mean, you know, think about like an Everton or a West Ham. Like, West Ham have needed a holding midfielder forever. But if you're West Ham and you're like spending crazy money on and wages on all these players that haven't worked, are you really going to spend $25 million on Eric Dier or $35 million or, you know, whatever?
I mean, it's like the Harry Kane and Ed Woodward thing. Like, you know, like, I mean, it's the question is, like, I don't think anyone rationally should spend what it would cost to get these guys. Is someone dumb enough? Like, is West Ham dumb enough to sign Eric Dier? Like,
yeah,
I don't think so. But like, if they did it, would I really be that surprised? Like, not really. Like,
but I mean, the problem then is like, obviously you can't just, you know, to use your favorite phrase, you can't cut bait on all of these players. Like, we can't just dump all of them. And so that's one of the things that's frustrating about this season is, like I said, it's not been illustrative of who is actually good and who is actually, you know, worthwhile as being a part of the next iteration of Tottenham Hotspur. And if you haven't been able to identify a particular style of play that the manager wants to play, or you can't identify the specific players that are going to fit into that particular style of play, I think that just kind of slows down the development of whatever the vision is. And it's just completely and utterly frustrating when you can't put together any sort of continuity of performances to get an idea of what we're trying to do.
I mean, so our dearly departed co-host Rob, who is like gone to heaven with dogs, apparently. he's not dead, but he is hanging out with dogs as opposed to recording with us. He said something on Twitter today, which is like, so much of what's infuriating as you try to sort of assess what's wrong at Tottenham, so much about it, what's infuriating is that you just don't know, because we can look at it from the outside and try to suss stuff out, but it's like, how much of a problem was Pochettino in terms of like who he would play and who he would accept as a transfer? How much of a problem is it if Levy's being quote unquote cheap? You know, how much of it, like, why didn't we sign players for a summer? Like, we don't know these reasons. Like, you know, I tend to think Pochettino deserves a little more blame than most Spurs fans are willing to give him. And Levy certainly probably deserves a little more blame than I'm comfortable giving him. But it's, what were the things that were wrong? Now, like, you look at someone like Bergwijn, and you have, you know, like, do you think he would have started a game yet under Pochettino? Like, I think that's a toss-up. Maybe an FA Cup match? Like, he got in the team right away. It was a good signing. I mean, I know he signed Mora under Pochettino, but, like, I don't know. There's part of my brain that's hoping, like, Daniel Levy has reopened his Football Manager save, and maybe we're not going to get a bunch of all-stars this, but we might get some guys who are good enough for government work. And while that's not stunning, like, maybe it'll just prevent us from being, like, paper-thin in midfield like we've been.
Yeah, I mean...
that's my personal fanfic, as a Daniel Levy apologist.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm the biggest Daniel Levy apologist out of all of us, so... my concern is... do we open the checkbook to the extent that Mourinho is going to be satisfied with things over the summer?
What does opening the checkbook look like? Is it getting a bunch of C+, B- players, but you're getting a bunch of them to fill a bunch of holes around the squad? Or does that mean getting like one or like having a transfer window like last summer, like really blowing it out on a couple really big players and maybe not addressing all the depth and needs on the team? Like, I don't know, especially if we're not in the Champions League. I mean, they might say fuck it and spend some money anyway just because, you know, we have so many problems to fix. It doesn't matter if we're in the Champions League, but...
Like take, for example, there's a rumor that popped up, I think it was this week, we were linked with Ben Chilwell, the Leicester left back. Now, I think that's ridiculous. I don't think he's leaving Leicester, but assuming we bought Chilwell, he's not going to be cheap. So what does a Ben Chilwell cost? £60 million? Does he cost, you know, what was Wan-Bissaka? Wan-Bissaka was 50. So Chilwell is 40 to 50 then. Is that the kind of player we buy? Or do we buy someone from France, from Spain, from Portugal, from, you know, a club lower down the Premier League, someone who is a 15 to 20 million pound player, and then we spend half a season with him rotating with Ben Davis? Like, I agree. We don't know what opening the checkbook looks like. We don't know if we're going to get players like a Gedson and a Bergwijn who are like, oh, they're deals, and they seem to be coming in via Jose Mourinho's contacts in the game, and you know, they wind up being like smart, decent signings, but they're not like Dele Alli, or they're not you know, a Heung-min Son. Like, I don't know. Is that okay?
So much of it depends, and how's Mourinho going to use those guys? I mean, I don't know about you. Mourinho's been, some of this might just be out of necessity, considering, like we've said before, that we're a mash unit right now. But is he going to use all those guys? Is he going to be okay with a Daniel Levy special, or is he going to want his like aging Portuguese players and also maybe like a star or two that Tottenham can't possibly afford, or, you know, could afford until some shit happens in the market and all of a sudden we're sort of like, you know, left holding the bag? Like, I don't know. I mean, Mourinho seems to be playing nice for now and seems to be aware that he's on a short leash in terms of his career, but man, I have no idea. I have no idea. But I just like to get to a point where it makes any level of sense.
No, nothing will ever make sense with Tottenham Hotspur ever again. That's not going to happen.
I just want to get to the point where it you can look at the team and not just be like, well, if five of our most important players weren't injured. Like, this is how it might work. You know, I want to get to a point where it's like, oh, I can sort of see what Mourinho's doing. And then I can at least, like, make the rational judgment of, like, oh, well, our attack fucking blows because he's doing this dumb shit. As opposed to, like, oh, well, our attack might blow and Mourinho could be doing more with this. But on the other hand, like, you know, this guy's hurt and Ndombele's fat. You know, like, this other guy can't play. Like, it's... I'm just tired of all these caveats and not being able to form a fully fledged opinion about all of it.
Yeah, remember when we used to do like nuanced analysis of how it was Moussa Dembele's like specific skill set that made this attack work, and then when we played these other players, it was like it didn't work for these reasons. Now we're just like, I don't even know what the system is. We're just like, everybody stinks.
Well, it's like, are you going to complain about this form of a swimmer who's just trying not to drown? It's
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, see, exactly. It's I understand, like, I am frustrated by a lot of it. I don't know how mad I should get because everything seems so broken. We don't have an identity. Our attack looks formless. Some of that I think is on Mourinho and how he's approaching this. A lot of it I think is just circumstance, and I don't know what he's supposed to do with a lot of this shit.
Yeah, I don't have the energy to be all angsty about it. I mean, the situation is what the situation is. I don't think we would be in any better or different position if we had Pochettino as manager. Or
I think we'd be in a much worse position, honestly.
Yeah, so I am not as like angsty or emotional about it as some of the Spurs fans we see on Twitter. It's just, I think the thing to me is it's just frustrating because the rest of the league is so bad, and we certainly have an opportunity to capitalize on everybody else being bad, and we're just not.
And we still might, but it doesn't look like that, not after the last few weeks.
Who knows?
And it's, I guess the other thing too is like, you look at games like Wolves or, you know, even Norwich, and it's like, you could see it going another way, but it's, you're back at this point where like something bad happens and they're just like, ah, fuck. And they don't know what to do about it, and they get overrun, and it's just so awful to watch. I mean, it's not fun, and I want to get back to the point where Spurs are fun.
Yeah, but we're playing Burnley this weekend, so that's definitely not going
to
be fun.
Oh God, as long as we just fucking win, and I don't trust us to keep Burnley off the score sheet. I don't know. Hopefully Lloris is back. Hopefully Toby's back in the team. I have no idea why Toby hasn't been in the team. I think it's probably injury, and it's not. I know the tendency is to think anytime someone's out and it's not clearly an injury or exhaustion, it's Mourinho's feuding with a player. I'm skeptical that's what's going on with Toby, but it'd be nice to see him back. I don't know. I'm just tired of us being bad. I'd like us to be good, even if it's only for a week or two.
Oh, this reminds me. So this week, Jose Mourinho gave a little quote in his press conference about how he was going to tell the Tottenham board that they needed to choose whether they wanted to win the Burnley match or the Leipzig match, which is always encouraging to hear from your coach.
Well, when you're a MASH unit, you got to make choices. That's the kind of thing that I have no problem if it was told to me it was happening by a reporter. I don't love that he's saying it in public, but clearly Mourinho is trying to manage expectations at this point.
Right. So if you're the Tottenham board and Jose Mourinho comes to you and he says to you, these are your two options, which one are you picking?
Burnley, 100%. Why would you pick Leipzig? Like, that's. I mean, I want to do well in the Champions League. I get it. But, like, you want to be in the... Like, this team's a fucking disaster right now. And we've talked about it all podcasts. We're just trying to get through the season. If you're this team, you want to find a way, just by hook or by crook, get in the Champions League next year. Try to get in the Champions League next year. You're not going to fucking win the Champions League. Like, what's the best case scenario for the Champions League this year? We have a good game against Leipzig. Maybe we get a kind draw in the next round, but either next round or round after, someone's going to just take us behind a woodshed and whoop our ass. I just, like, have a respectable... If I got to choose, focus on the Burnley match. Maybe we can get into the Champions League next year, where maybe this team is halfway capable of playing well again. I think it's no contest. Now, I wouldn't say that in public, but I wouldn't have a problem if I found out that was being discussed at the club. What do you think? What would you choose, Brian?
I like the idea of winning Champions League matches.
Like, I love it too, but like, if I'm trying, if you're asking me to be practical about it, I think it, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, sensically, I agree with you. It totally makes sense to focus on Burnley because obviously securing Champions League for next season is significantly more important than winning and advancing just one round further in the Champions League. But, you know, it's so cool to win Champions League matches, man, and, like, to be in the Champions League, like, what it'll be the quarterfinals next. You know, to be in the quarterfinal and, like, be one of the
We should try to win both. We should do our best to win both. But if I have to make a rational, calculated decision about it, like, I'm choosing Burnley. Now, I hope, you know, like I said, I wouldn't do this in public like Mourinho's doing, but this is a man who wants to manage expectations.
Yeah. I like I said, I really just like winning Champions League matches. But you're definitely right. Getting to fifth or fourth has got to be the focus. But gosh, I really just want to win Champions League matches.
It would be nice. It would be nice. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap it up. Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock. That is Brian with a Y.
Right, and you can find me on Twitter at skipjack0079 for Brian, for myself, and for our dearly departed co-host, and of course for Brett Rainbow. Come on, you Spurs.